I read recently that the most important part of every plan is planning on your plan not going according to plan. Most important part of every plan is planning on your plan not going according to plan, if you're taking notes. Proverbs 16:9 says, "We make plans, but the Lord determines our steps." And sometimes those steps and plans and things change and not in accordance with how we'd probably like them to go. One instance again being this morning when we were anticipating, looking forward to President Paul Larson and B being here, but they could not. Well, I look to 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Begins, "Preach the word." Paul, the apostle, writing to Timothy, his protege in ministry, "Preach the word," goes on. "Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." I kind of homed in on that word encourage and a word closely associated with it, and that is comfort. When I use the word comfort, it brings maybe different things to people's minds. I'll tell you, I'm not talking about a wearable fleece blanket kind of comfort, although there is a time for that. Those are nice. I'm not talking about the full body pillow, you know, comfort like that. Again, there's a time and a place for that. I'm talking more, though, from the Bible about comfort for those who are experiencing battle fatigue and maybe even just world weariness from the world, from spiritual battle, and more. Now, what I'm about to tell you next, don't hear this from me, at least from this place, very often, hopefully not really ever, except for right now, I'm going to say what I say next is not true. What I say next is not true. So the etymology for the word comfort is from come and fort, like fortress. It's not true, that's what I'm saying. But you put these two words together, this kind of comfort is coming to the fort or the fortress of God and His Word. That is what we're looking at today with five words that begin with the letter R. And the first word is retreat. Retreat. Now, why should anyone ever retreat? Shouldn't we just go, go, go until we can go no more and never pull back, never fall back or retreat? This is initially a military type term. If forces are being overrun or overwhelmed or about to be overtaken, don't want to do this, but there is a time to fall back, to retreat. Now, again, I'm talking there is spiritual battle, spiritual warfare and weariness. But also, again, there could just be world weariness, as it were. And there is a time to retreat. In fact, we use that word as a noun when you go on a retreat, a time to get away, to find some rest and recovery and more. From Mark chapter 6, the Gospel of Mark, reading verse 30, says, "The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught." Here in Mark, it doesn't give us that conversation. This is one of these many instances where I'd like to hear it. I mean, I'd like to see what Peter and John and James, what they actually said. "Jesus, here is what we were doing and teaching." But it just says they reported to him what they had done, what they had taught. And then, verse 31, "Because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, Jesus said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.' So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place." Now here, they're not in battle, as it were. It doesn't even mention spiritual battle in this scene so much as just the world. And so many people coming and going, it says the disciples and Jesus, they didn't even have a chance to eat. It was just so crazy, chaotic, so much going on, that Jesus looks at his disciples, Son of God, looks at them and says, "Come away with me. We're going to go on retreat to a quiet place." This leads to the next R, from retreat to, Jesus said, to get some rest. Rest. And everyone here this morning is like, at least one more hour would have been helpful. Well, this might be news to some of you, but studies have shown that the human body actually does require rest. Now, I'm kidding. I didn't look up studies. Do we really need a study? Sometimes we maybe do, because again, there's not all of us, but many times many of us are like, well, we just want to go, go, go. We don't have time to rest. Daily, nightly, you go more than, I don't know, if you go start going beyond 20 hours and steep, you know, you're gonna feel it. You're gonna know your body needs some rest, and not only daily and nightly, that it's built in that we need rest, but weekly. So God created heavens and earth and all things in 6 days. God himself set apart the seventh day for rest, to do no work, to rest and to worship and focus on our Creator. It's built into our system on the seventh day, 1 day per week. And then again, even periodically, like Jesus telling his disciples in this moment, it wasn't the Sabbath. He just said, let's get out of here. Let's retreat, you and me, to a quiet place, specifically so we can get rest. Mark 6. Now, when I was in the Minnesota Army National Guard, I know I've mentioned Navy chaplain stories, just on the sidebar. I was 2 years active duty Army, about 5 years Minnesota Army National Guard, and about 8 years as a Navy chaplain. And in that Minnesota Army National Guard time, I'm in my young 20s, in the prime of my physical life, probably. I was on KP duty out in the woods in northern Minnesota, kitchen patrol. So aside from the normal duties, every so often you're up on KP. So I'm working with out in the woods, setting up and getting ready to serve hundreds of soldiers some food. And the next morning comes and clean up and put everything away and get them ready to go on. And then I return to my unit. And I'm a 31 mic was my, I don't even think this military occupational skill exists anymore, multi-channel communication equipment operator. So this was Vietnam era radio equipment. We'd go off in the woods, set up these UHF antennas, over 100 feet high above the tree line so that they could see another UHF antenna, line of sight so many miles away. But we had to put, you know, these stakes, pound them into the ground, attach the guy lines, the wires, to these UHF antenna pieces that we'd then crank up into the sky. So it was the next morning after KP duty, it was time to break everything down, pack it up, move to another site, and reset it up. And by the time we got to the next site, I was already starting to feel it. I had hardly slept the night before after KP duty. And this is what happened. I don't remember another time in my life when this happened, when the sledgehammer to drive in one of these stakes, I couldn't lift it. I honestly couldn't. I was like looking at my arms going, what in the world? My arms, the muscles had actually reached a point of fatigue. They didn't work. And it felt weird. I mean, I was tired, but I was like, So Specialist Mike Johnson, he noticed, thankfully, and he said, Mortensen, not only was I not helping, I was just getting in the way at that point. He said, go over there. Basically, take a break, get some rest. You can't do anything anyway. Other times, the body, President Paul Larson, he said this, a bout of malaria, and he could feel the taxing on his body. And when somebody gets sick or has surgery, things that occur to the body, it needs time to recover. And yes, as we get older, it needs more time to recover from these things, and it needs rest. Well, not only our bodies, that even when we're healthy need rest, and then if other things, other conditions especially, but our minds, our hearts, our souls, they need rest. Psalm 23, verse 3, He, the Lord, my shepherd, restores my soul. And the first part of the word restore is rest. Your soul, God knows this again. Our souls need rest. There's a fascinating verse in Jeremiah 6, verse 16. You may recognize part of this verse. It begins like this. This is what the Lord says, speaking to his people. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. You recognize that? Find rest for your souls. Sadly, the verse goes on, but you said, Israelites, people of Judah, you said we will not walk in it. Crossroads, look, ask. This kind of asking is asking God in prayer and in his word. Where is the good way? Now, does that connect with another verse? The good way. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father. This is looking for the way of Jesus. This is looking for Jesus himself and walking with him, walking in that path. And then, and only then, with Jesus, you will find rest for your souls as you walk with him. But again, sadly, the people then, and sadly many people today, said, we will not walk. We want to do this on our own. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, heavy laden. And Jesus says, and I will give you rest. It's a gift from Jesus himself. He goes on, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you picture a yoke like between two oxen, Jesus is in the one side, and you're supposed to get in the other. Guess who carries all the weight, all the burden, provides all the strength and energy to move with that yoke? 100% Jesus, 0% you. You think, well, taking a yoke, that sounds heavier. He just says, take my yoke upon you. That sounds heavy and burdensome. No, it's Jesus' yoke. He's already in it. You get in the other side and you're like, whoa, it's like with the wind at your back all of a sudden. Wow, he's providing everything. You get rest. You go along for the ride with Jesus at your side. John 14:6 again, Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the one who provides and gives you true rest for your soul. When your soul is rested, all the fruit of the Spirit, all the rest is there. Love, joy, peace with Christ. Well, we have the retreat. We have the rest. And the third R is relief. Relief. So I'm going to jump now into the Navy. As a Navy chaplain, I got to be in and participate in some changes of command ceremonies when a captain of a ship, his time was done, and the next captain was taking over, they had a change of command. And when that change of command was complete, they salute each other, and the captain who was just relieved of his duty would literally say, I stand relieved. All the burden, all the responsibilities of the ship were his just moments ago completely, and now, after the change of command is completed, it's gone to a new person, and this captain now says, I stand relieved. That ship and everyone and everything on it are no longer my responsibility. Relief. Relief is, well, it always has a, if I get my grammar right here, an indirect object. So I, subject, stand relieved, verb, or I stand relieved. I'm going to mess this all up. But there's this back shadow. You're always relieved or feeling relief from something is the point I'm trying to make. It's not just relief in general. There's always something that now I'm relieved from that. Now, there's this place you might have heard of. It's called Walmart. Anyone here? So if you go to Walmart or Target or any of these kind of places, they have the pharmacy department, and there's a whole aisle, at least, or maybe more, dedicated to relief. And it is relief from pain, aches, certain kinds of pain, headache, arthritis. Some of you would know even more than me. It's very specialized. Well, the amazing thing is, if you go down that aisle, and you have a certain ache or pain you want relief from, you can go and get one pill, take it, and you'll never experience that pain again. You're like, what? Show me where I missed that in the aisle. No, you get a container that has 100, 200, 250 pills, or you name it. And then when those run out, guess what? You can go back and get some more. Well, they do, if they do their job, provide some relief. But does it last? I mean, that's why there's 100 or 200 or more. It is temporary. If there were that pill, well, yeah, everybody would want that one. Well, spiritually, we also need relief. And there's no pill for the relief that we need spiritually. And it's a very specific type of thing that we need relief from. And it's called sin. We need relief from sin and all of its effects, which is all sorts of other kind of pain and heartbreak and emotional trauma and brokenness. And the list goes on and on, all the way to the point of death. This specific pain and problem of sin needs and has a very specific form of relief, the solution. And it's not a pill. It is forgiveness. The only relief one finds from sin is through forgiveness. And specifically, ultimately, it is forgiveness from God. When the soul experiences and knows forgiveness from your sin and all of its effects, guilt, shame, pain, brokenness, death, and you know forgiveness from God, that's relief. That is relief. Psalm 32. We looked at this in our Bible hour last Sunday. As we're going through the Lord's Prayer, and last Sunday we looked at the fifth petition, which is forgive us our sins, our trespasses, as we forgive those who sin or trespass against us. And we looked here at Psalm 32, going to verse 3. This is, David, shepherd and king, David wrote this. He says in verse 3, When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, speaking to the Lord, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. He's feeling literally this weight from the Lord and his own guilt and shame of his sin, this weight, this burden. He's groaning day and night, not sleeping, not resting, until not going down an aisle at a pharmacy, but looking to God and saying, I acknowledge my sin. And relief, relief. In fact, if I go to the beginning of the psalm, he begins with actually the relief. He says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. The remedy is, we heard it earlier today too, in our time of confession, which we need weekly, daily, and also in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is spiritual relief for the soul. The next R word is reassurance. There was some built in right there. How many times do you need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? How many times? Anyone have the number? Reminds me, again, last week we looked at when Peter came to Jesus and said, how many times should I forgive a brother or sister who comes and sins against me? Up to seven times? You know, do we hear the gospel seven times and now we never need to hear it again? Got it. Well, hopefully we do have it. But it's interesting, even in the epistles in the New Testament and elsewhere, the Apostle Paul, toward the very end of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, 15 chapters in, and we come and it says, Paul says, I want to remind you again, brothers and sisters, of the gospel which I preached to you and on which your salvation is based, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, was buried, and on the third day was raised again. This is the people in Corinth who were believers in Jesus Christ. They had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I want to remind you again and make sure. Similarly, in 2 Peter chapter 1, at verse 12, this whole paragraph that Peter writes, he says, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. The gospel of Jesus Christ. He died for your sins on the cross, was buried, on the third day was raised again. According to the scriptures, we can never, ever hear this truth enough. Paul himself mentioned him writing that letter, but he himself needed and craved reassurance. We come to 2 Timothy chapter 4. He's writing to Timothy, and he says, come quickly to me. And when you come, Timothy, bring my scrolls, especially the parchments. I want to see and read again the words of God that I have. John the Baptist, who baptized Jesus, who saw the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove come and alight on Jesus, who said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I shouldn't be baptizing you. I need to be baptized by you. What happened when John the Baptist himself was in prison? He sent two of his followers to find Jesus and ask him, basically, are you actually the Messiah? Are you the one, or should we be looking for someone else? And Jesus replied with a prophecy from Isaiah, which included the words, the good news is being proclaimed to the poor, and people are being healed, and the blind now see. Tell John that. That's the reassurance. I am the Messiah. We need it, again, daily, really, in the Word, our daily bread. Man does not live by bread alone, what we eat for our bodies, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, over and over again. Blessed assurance. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And Galatians 2:20 says, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If you ever need that personal assurance, read Galatians 2:20, because it's not just God so loved the world, which is true, but it's Jesus loves me, and he gave himself for me. That's good news. The fifth and final R for today is refuge. It's kind of full circle from where I started when I mentioned, again, the not true etymology of the word comfort. It's not from come and fort it, and fort, come to the fort. But here with refuge, it is again coming to the fort. Put a capital F on this word. Fortress. Refuge. Refuge. A refuge is not a building. And even though we've called the basement here the refuge, that is not what I'm talking about. It's not about, it's a good place to go, but this isn't what I'm talking about here. The refuge, I'm talking about the fortress of God himself. He is, God is our refuge. We sang in the first song, a mighty fortress is our God. And that line, a bulwark, never failing. Bulwark, nothing can get to you when you are in the refuge of God. Nothing. Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. Whoever dwells, lives, abides, resides in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Psalm 62 that Kevin read from earlier. These are printed in your bulletin as well, verses 5 through 8 from Psalm 62. And we'll close with this. Yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Boy, talk about saying the same thing in so many words. Again, we need to hear it and believe it and say these words ourselves. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for once again, God is our refuge. Let us pray. Lord God, our rock, our fortress, our stronghold, our strength, our refuge. Lord, thank you. You provide the retreat that we need daily, weekly for our souls. You provide the rest that we can only find in Jesus Christ. You, Lord, offer us and give us relief from our sins and from the guilt and shame with our sin and even from death in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, you reassure us by your word, by your presence, even by being together this morning, we are reassured of you and of the gospel. And Lord, again, you are our refuge. We trust in you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.